You can do this so many ways. Like, everyone learns so differently. And as long as the logic comes from the intention to help everyone be aware of something that is true, then that's already a good intention, right? And to start, everyone's at a different level. Some people have been coming for years, some have just fresh. So we've got to find something that we can all connect to that is for the purpose of releasing suffering, not creating a headache and making us feel confused and no one agrees on anything. So one of the ways we like to do it is to just really simplify the language. A word like logic, if we were to put a definition on it, who can explain logic? Reasoning conducted or assessed according to strict principles of validity. But if you look at it, so if an ant's floating along the ground here, and an ant comes to an apple, and it writes a story and says, oh, I was walking along and this mountain of food, my whole family could eat it. To the ant, that's logic. That makes perfect sense. That's a true statement. But if an elephant's walking the other way and writes the same story, I was cruising along and then I saw this little thing that I could eat, bang, and I kept walking. So the same reality from two different life perspectives creates a different truth. So logic can then be broken up into what's called a one-way truth, which is me, from my perspective, I have my logic. The way I see life is different to the way Olof sees life. He grew up in Sweden, I grew up in Sydney. Very different upbringings, right? But you can't say that either of our logics is not true. You can just say mine is temporary, his is temporary for him. But we're not interested in learning each other's temporary, because my temporary logic doesn't help me release my suffering. It actually creates all my suffering. Like, I need a mortgage and I need a family and that's Sean logic, right? But what Buddhism tries to help us awaken to understand is what's called eternal logic. It's not limited to one person's perspective. It's not limited to one frame of time. It's not limited to one place, just earth or human as a life system. Buddhism tries to explain eternal logic from unlimited angles. So it's not for just humans, but it's for every life. And the first eternal truth they taught was a system of causation. Causation is a philosophy that Buddhism used to explain life. And it explains life through four components of causation. If I draw a circle, you can't tell me where the circle begins and ends. It's just a circle. It's a constant cycle. Cause and effect's like that. You can't say it started here and finished there. Life is a system, eternal system of cause and effect. And the way we involve with that system is through the first element of causation. Does anyone remember the first one?
Main cause.
Main cause, which is?
Your intention.
Everything that happens to us, everything is cause and effect around us. It's all just atoms buzzing to make the space look like the space, the people look like the people. But in each life, they have one constant, and that is I'm there making the choices for my life. Olof's there making the choices for his life. I can't choose for him. I can be there next to him and support his choice, and he can support me, but I can't make him do what I want. He has to choose to do it. So that's what's called the main cause intention. We all have that. And we all use that to guide our life through this crazy causation web. The second element is called... Oh yeah, did you have a question?
Main supporting cause.
Main supporting cause. So in this instance, my main intention is to teach philosophy, something that's brought me joy. But without people to support me as a teacher, to want to be a student and listen, I'm just sitting here talking to myself. So I'm not really a teacher because I need supporting causes. And people might want to learn Buddhism or Tai Chi or all the stuff that I teach. So they have the intention to learn, but without a teacher, that can't appear. So for it to appear, anything to appear, it needs main cause and main supporting cause. Can you guys guess what the third one would be?
Is it timing?
There you go. Yeah, timing. So for me to be able to be free on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, for you guys all to also be free, that's part of the timing. For us to be at a similar age gap where we, you know, if I was...
Born in the same century,
there you go. Or even born in an age where I can actually communicate and be a teacher. Mm. Or I'm not like so old that I can't even make it up the stairs to get to class. Or I'm not so young that I'm too busy out listening to house music on a Thursday, Wednesday night, you know. Like, so many causes of timing. If you change one thing in your day, your whole day would change. It's all just this constant cycle of cause and effect. Anyone see Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow? Yeah, great movie, right? That one moment of change in time changed their life completely. It's pretty true. If you go back along your whole life and go, all right, all that stuff happened. If you change one thing, your whole life would be different. You might be here, you might not. You might be sitting here and I'm sitting there. Like, something, little change can make so many differences. So, main cause, main supporting cause, timing. Oof, one off.
Direct and indirect causes.
What does that mean?
So, a direct cause would be that Valerie has a car.
Oh, she drove you here. Nice, yeah.
An indirect cause is that somebody founded the Honda company at one point, which is the car that she could buy to drive me here.
Yeah, all the direct and indirect cause and effect that happen to allow that moment to occur. So you can go back as far as the Big Bang, birth of our solar system and our planet. But you can go back and be like, oh, all the cotton that was grown to be made into a shirt, bang. That whole web is unlimited in every angle. So when we say many to many, we don't just mean my body, but we mean all the elements that made this tatami, made this building, made the oxygen on the earth, and the dinosaurs weren't still here. Like, there's so many layers to how we exist here today. But we get so caught up in what we want to happen each day that we find suffering in this little view of our day, when actually if you stop and appreciate all that happens to get to each moment, it's impressive. It's amazing. It's already incredible. But I'm like, I got a parking ticket. That ruined my day, right? And that's because what Buddhism calls us in a stage of what's called a combination life form. We are still so easily influenced by everything that happens around us and to us. We don't have any control over our own heart to stay in a perfect feeling that we can create for ourselves. So if you have a good day and you're like, oh, this is the best day ever, how long can you make that feeling stay for?
Until you walk out and then you see the parking ticket.
Yeah, until something changes it, right? And that's the point. Something will change it. We're that fickle. And in Buddhism, they say that's temporary combination life form still. And he says that humans are at this point that's called neutral. We're not super powerful. We're not super smart. We still have suffering. So we've got enough joy that we're like, yay, I can enjoy life and have time left over to think about what is life. Whereas if I was every day fighting for survival, worrying about hunting, you know, in a war zone, it'd be hard to stop and have someone go, hey, have you heard of life and the truth of life? And do you want to learn about it? Causation. You'd be like, dude, there's bullets flying everywhere. Like, I don't have time to listen to this. But if I was so good at creating joy for myself, like they say there's this other life form ahead of humans, which is, they're way more powerful. They understand how atoms work and they understand how illusion works. So they have the ability to change the space without actually having to, like, we've got to get scientists to go in and create a plane. Now we can fly. It takes ages for our technology to build, but there's a higher consciousness that can actually directly influence the space and change their body, and they're called energy god, according to Buddhism. I've never met one. I've seen cool images of them, but if I was that ability and I could create joy in all these different ways, and someone came and said, you need to learn how to release suffering, I'd be like, dude, I'm having the best time ever. I don't need to learn anything. And that works until the universe I exist in goes into a black hole and that universe ends. And then all this joy I have that I need to connect to this universe to get gets compressed and I have to let go of all of it. So they actually have a lot of suffering at that point. But for that whole universe lifetime, which might be 1 million years, 2 million years, they're in so much joy, so they don't think they need to learn. But humans don't have that. We're at what's called neutral, where we can either think about, use our thinking power to think about what we want and how to get it, or we can think about, oh, what is life? And how does it work? And can I do it better? So humans are quite lucky, which is why it's an interesting part of causation and timing that we're all here now learning this. So it's cool. Maren, have a hand.
I was going to ask if we could do a little recap.
Okay, perfect. Do you want to start?
All right, I'll do the recap.
Okay.
So we've decided that causation is the best place to learn. And we've established that causation is the many causes creating many effects to create the space that we are existing in and us.
Ooh.
And everything? No, all the appearing forms?
Everything that exists is through causation. Right. Nothing can appear without being cause and effect, that system.
Many causes having many effects to create everything that exists.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
That can be our soundbite. And then we started to look at causation as main cause and the idea that you are your own main cause. So it is your intention that establishes what you're doing. Then we looked at supporting causes, which are usually the life forms around you that are helping you. then we looked at timing, that it all needs to exist within a time frame that you'll be around and able to experience it. Direct and indirect causes, so the fact that the sun rose and that the building is here, and that we have not, like, we've all eaten enough and are still alive.
Perfect.
Sorry, I have another question.
Go for it, yeah.
So with direct and indirect, is that, why are they lumped as one?
One whole part of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to control those ones.
Right.
For me, like, I can't control that Buddha came and taught his students and they wrote it down.
Yeah.
I just, they did, so I can learn this.
Sure.
But if they didn't do that and write that down thousands of years ago, I would have nothing to learn right now.
Yeah.
Or like the idea that my teacher moved to Australia and then I met him and started learning,
yeah.
Right? But for you guys, that's not a main cause for you.
Sure.
Or a supporting cause for you. But it is for me.
So how does direct and indirect differ?
So it's indirect that I know this wisdom and I can share it, or
yeah,
we can all talk about it together. The indirect for you is that I learnt it before. You
yeah
weren't there for that. I had nothing to do with you. But
sure,
without me having done that, it wouldn't directly be here. So me teaching you or talking to you now is direct.
I see.
But what I've learned in the past is indirect.
Yeah.
And your past, whatever you've learned, brought you to this point here where you asked a cool question, like that cool question. So without your journey to have brought you here to ask that question, like you might have been to another class and you asked a question and they got angry at you and fined you and kicked you out, and you'd
yeah
sit here and not ask that question. So they would indirectly not hear your question because of your past.
Sure.
But it's direct for you why you didn't ask the question. But
I
for
see
them, it's indirect that they don't receive that causation.
Right.
Okay, I have a question. What causes you to keep coming back to class?
To release suffering.
To release suffering. So why, out of all the systems, is this the system you use to
okay
release suffering? Because everything has a cause. That intention has a cause.
Yeah. The three eternal truths.
Three eternal Dharma truths.
Dharma truths, sorry. Yeah. I haven't been able to peck holes in.
So the feeling of respect and credibility is because you don't have better logic than that logic.
Well, I don't have any better logic to follow, so...
That's what I mean.
I
yeah
mean, I'm not going to go follow
yeah
a logic which I can find problems with.
Yeah.
If I find a logic that seems eternally true from my limited perspective, and then it acknowledges that I have a limited perspective and that it's eternally true for other perspectives too, then... That seems like a good place to start.
Any others?
Discipline.
Ooh, discipline.
Well, from my point of view, I find that coming here often gets me out of my head, and it's creating good discipline in my life to release suffering.
Cool, nice.
I'm kind of like similar to yours there. There's so many things going on in your head and things that create suffering, and coming to class and learn about eternal wisdom gets you out of that. Maybe it's just for a short moment, but that short moment is very joyful.
So to help you understand the difference, when your mind is cluttered, that's when we've been following causation. So it might be something causes me to think about this and I'm trapped in that causation pattern. But by choosing to come and learn about causation, for that one moment, I break that connection and I create a new causation. It's no longer just what my thoughts blindly idle into. Now I'm actually guiding it. Okay, for this hour, I'm going to learn eternal wisdom. So I break that snowball of cause and effect thinking, all my personal emotion and desire and my life issues, and I just put them aside and go, I'm going to learn about the system of life just for an hour, 10 minutes, whatever. You said it only happens for a little while, it might only be for a moment. In that moment, you're practicing breaking unlimited causation that's led to that moment.
Mm.
So yes, it's difficult, but even for that one moment, you're more strong than all that causation behind you.
Is that like back to essence?
That is back.
Okay.
When you get to an ability where you actually use wisdom to change your feeling and you go back to that calm, peaceful, neutral, that's back to essence. But at the beginning, just to stop the thought process is already just a little bit of harmony in the mind. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Because Olaf is very much in thinking. His whole life is he stops, calculates, moves on. Some people are more intuitive. Some people are more feeling. Olaf's very thinking. He'll stop and think before he speaks. I'm not like that at all. I'm very off the cuff. Fly by feeling. I'll feel someone, feel the situation, and I'll speak from heart. Olaf's very logical, so step by step, takes his time, logic from mind. So for him to stop that step by step, break that, is like, oh, free for a moment. That's why it's nice for him. So on your own, if you connect back to an idea that silences your mind, you start to learn to use that, and you kind of create a bit of a central, like a neutral gear out of that. When you're stressed and everything's annoying you and you feel like you're overdoing it, you have that wisdom that you connect back to, and it like connects to your heart and it makes you feel peaceful. You build them up. They're really nice, eh? Anyone else?
As also, like, since I've been coming to class, I have more moments of pure joyful feeling and learning that I have the choice to create happiness or whatever I get to learn in class, to know that I can apply it in my life and know that my suffering kind of stopped for 1 second. It's already like really nice feeling.
Yeah, instead of feeling like you're always a victim to all this stuff that's annoying you, you've got some power to actually take control of your feeling again. Any more? How many we got left?
Unlike anything outside, Buddhism explains eternal truth, and it's logical from every angle. It explains it in many ways, and it's across all time, life forms, and space. And I appreciate that logic because it makes sense. And also through learning and coming to classes, you develop your own ability to learn how to release your own suffering and over time help others release suffering as well.
Three more.
I'm pretty nervous by nature. I'm also very analytical, despite like a lot of my analysis and me really taking it in and going over at my own notes and being like, I can't disprove it, which is nice. It also really helps me to, I guess, relieve some of the worry I feel and the stress. Yeah, I find it really helpful as a way to sort of, I guess, disconnect from the mess world outside.
Cool. I just asked you that because it's nice to actually have to put into words your own reasoning. Because a lot of the times I'll say to someone, let's do this or let's do that, and they'll be like, no, I don't feel like it. You're like, well, where does that feeling come from? Because if you don't know where you're going, if you're not observing that feeling, you're a slave to a feeling you don't even understand. Daniel, a few weeks ago, we had training, and he did really well, and we went and got dinner, and we came back, and I was like, oh, are you going to come to class? And he was like, no, I'm going to go home, I'm tired, and I need to feel like I'm in the right mood to learn philosophy. And I was like, that's all right, it's cool, let him go. And then, but a part of what he said drove me a little bit weird. Like, I was like, I need to explain to him that we come here to learn what a blind feeling is and not to let it control me. Because if I have a feeling of tired and then I don't do something that's good for me, nothing's going to get done, right? The idea of wisdom and logic is you go, okay, that feeling's appearing, why is it appearing? And do I want to let that control me? So if I, like, do you want to share your example?
So an example would be when I trained with Ben, I would be like, oh, I'm not really feeling great today, like, let's just do some yoga. And then he would always say, like, don't follow that feeling. And, like, I know that I can work out, it's just like I didn't feel like doing it. And, like, but if I hadn't been told not to follow that feeling, I never would have gone there in the first place. Like, I never would have got through that. I would have stayed in that feeling of, like, oh, I just feel like watching TV. Oh, it's, like, raining. I have to catch the bus. Like, oh. I can choose not to keep, like, letting that snowball and going in that direction. Because I'm my own main cause.
Well said. It's funny. Our whole life, we've kind of got this feeling of what life is. And that feeling is uniquely our own. I feel very differently to how anyone would feel. But I assume everyone feels the same way I do because this is how I feel, so I just assume. And that's what we call observing through personal. When you have a feeling of, so I might have had a really bad day and I walk in a room and I'm like, how does everyone not know that I've had a bad day and to leave me alone right now? Why is everyone asking me for stuff, you know? That's my blind feeling. And if I follow that and I'd be rude to people, I'm going to push people away. I'm going to have no friends. No one's going to want to hang out with that guy. And then I'm going to be lonely and I'm going to be walking around like, why doesn't everyone know how lonely I am? But we've also got this other side in life, in society especially, where we've got to pretend that everything's fine. I can't walk around if someone goes, how are you? I'm going, I'm really lonely. So you've got to like put this face up. You've got to be like, oh, I'm really good. How are you? And it's a back and forth. And then when you're alone with someone you trust, you might actually open up to them and go, actually, or out of part, whatever. Like, we all have things that make us feel sad or suffering or stressed or lazy or angry or frustrated or ambition or like there's too much on our shoulders. That's normal, but that's what's called blind feeling. And that blind feeling, we have to learn to observe, okay, what's creating that? Because you'll find a lot of it comes down to your main cause intention. So it can be that work feels stressful, but actually I'm putting too much importance on this particular job. Or this boss is being a jerk and they're making me feel stressed. But in reality, if I stop and realize they're not going to fire me, and even if they do, I'll get another job. There's so much work out there. But it's through like seeing this small position, like, I might get fired. And then we get afraid we can't get another job. But things are going to change. So if I lose that job, how long do you reckon it'll be before another connection opens up? You know? But through fear, we don't see that potential cause and effect that might come. So we just get so scared about our blind view. And that's where the suffering comes from. So Buddhism teaches to not see things from one perspective, but see the unlimited web of cause and effect. And the unlimited universe is so powerful and changing so crazy. We can't control that. So even if I want to hang on to this bad feeling sets in, I'm not going to be able to make it stay there even if I wanted to. Even if this bad feeling came and I was like, no, I'm going to stay with this feeling forever.
When you're angry.
Yeah.
They did something so wrong. I'm not forgiving them. I'm going to stay angry.
Yeah. How long does that last?
I can't do it. I really
don't. Being angry is not easy and it's not fun. No one wants to be angry. They say that inside every life is a child, like little kid, curious little child heart. And the wisdom is being able to keep that child heart playful and curious, but not let it be like an idiot that runs out on the road. You've got to unite two extreme forces, which is child heart, but wise old man, and you mix them together. Within all of us, we need to learn to awaken two extreme powers. One is the ability to observe, be aware, and be wise. The other one is the one that enjoys the moment, curious, playful, happy, joyful, free. Right? And when we can unite these two powers, then we are more free to enjoy life. Some people, when they're stressed and you go up and try to be playful with them, they refuse to do that. But in that moment, if just for a second they were playful, they'd almost distract themselves and the problem would either go away or they'd see a new angle. But because they hold on to the feeling, that doesn't get the change. My teacher, when I was going through a really tough phase in my training and my learning, I was down, like really stressed about a few things. Put me through this guided meditation and I was like deep in meditation. And he just said, through many layers, he explained cause and effect. He explained whatever you're aware of is not you. So your body is just all the energy you're aware of that makes up your body, your oxygen, your breath, your stomach, whether you're hungry or not. You're aware of all this information. And that information is many causes of many effects to create the illusion of your body. And you're existing in that body. He was like, that is just an illusion. And all the things you connect to are another illusion. Same system, atoms connecting together to look like whatever you're connecting to. So your illusion and their illusion, the connection between those two is an illusion of an illusion, double illusion. He was like, never let the double illusion pull you out of harmony in your own heart. Remain aware that life is that perfect system, constantly changing, never repeating. If you're aware of that constantly changing power or the unlimited causation that goes into each moment, you'll never be out of harmony over this one little parking ticket or fight with your friend or job problems. Whatever it is, it's so small. It's like you go to the beach and you pick up one grain of sand and go, yep, that's my problem. And there's this whole grain of sand everywhere and you take this one problem, nope, that ruined my day, nope. Not playful. Nope, can't cheer me up. I'm not coming out. I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm going to go sit in my room and take this problem really seriously until it goes away. Do you reckon it's ever going to go away if I take it more seriously? Nah, it just gets bigger and I become more sad and it's harder to let it go. Because now I've told people I can't do something, so I've got to stay in my room. Because I look like an idiot if I walk out and they're all like, what happened to your problem? It wasn't that bad. So, in Buddhism, they say, don't take our I too seriously. Our I is the feeling of I am me, and this is my opinion, my feeling, my want, my ambition. Anything that comes from I is an illusion, and being stuck in that keeps us in that temporary view of life. But instead, to let that go and feel everyone in the space, feel every life in the space, feel every life, until your ability to be aware is way more heightened than just our own personal feeling. Ooh. Question?
Jono hasn't shared.
Oh.
Oh. What's the question
again? What's the cause for you to keep coming back to class?
Sifu asked me once, why do you learn Buddhism or the philosophy? I said, I don't want suffering for my life. And he said, well, just don't create it. So everything I kind of like tried to figure out to not create suffering for my life wasn't logical and wasn't wise. So it would always end up in a bigger suffering for my life and just would never work out. So by learning the Buddhism philosophy, it's quite clear and logical to have less suffering with my life. But also it gives me a chance to connect to other people who are learning that system in a joyful way, which encourages me to continue learning, which is a lot more fun than trying to learn it.
If you ask me why I come to learn cause and effect, why I come to learn all this philosophy, is because Sean, my personal character, created a lot of physical, emotional, and psychological suffering for myself. And I'm just really good at recreating it. I just am great at it. Like, no one's better at creating more stress and suffering for myself than me. And I can think it's other people. I can think it's all these society, Sydney government, the planet, you know. But really, it's me. And the thing I love about eternal wisdom is, same as what you guys said, you can't break the logic in it. Well, not only can I not break the logic, but I can't even follow it. And when I do follow it, my life gets that much better. And when I choose not to follow it, my life gets that much worse. So while I have the ability to learn, develop, and change, because I'm going to change anyway, it's either I change in a direction I choose through wisdom, or I change in a direction that I get pushed on me by family and surroundings and society. So if I can choose wisdom, I'm going to try and recreate my character to match wisdom more. And so that is being disciplined. What were the six Buddhasattva characters again?
Generosity,
discipline,
patience, concentration, meditation, wisdom.
Perfect. Do you know why generosity is the first one? So if I want something and I live my life based on what I want to be successful, I want a big family, I want to be powerful, I want, that's my main subject and I live in that. Can I be generous? No. So by practicing generosity, I first have to go, okay, forget what I want. Bang, I can't chase what I want now. So it pulls me right out of my personal greed. And now I have to be generous to myself, or I have to learn how to not create suffering for myself. So I have to be generous to myself. And then I need someone who's generous to share that wisdom with me. So I need people that are also generous to share their time to learn wisdom. Be it a teacher that can share the wisdom, or someone who's going to sit and talk about wisdom with me. So generosity is actually the first step to stopping that snowball of cause and effect, of wanting and chasing and searching for contentment through everything outside. Actually learning to see through that, first you have to be like, okay, generosity. Share time to learn wisdom. That's the first step. And if you don't have a teacher who's generous to share it, and you're not generous, they don't see that, oh, if I share it with him, will he share it with someone else? So why would I share it with someone who's not going to share it? So a generous teacher won't be generous to a selfish student. Generous teacher looks for another generous student that will then keep sharing it. So in Buddhism, they said generosity is the foundation wisdom to actually begin your learning. Because while you're stuck in greed, you don't listen. You don't learn. You watch and observe to get what you want only. And I know from first hand, greed was a big part of my first lesson, was I had to get rid of greed. So, and I know that when I'm greedy for something, I don't pay attention to what other people need. I'm really fixated on what I need. And so, yeah, generosity is the foundation for learning. And then discipline, because you can be generous forever, but if you don't have discipline to apply what you learn, you don't progress. And after discipline comes patience, because applying discipline is hard. So you need to be patient to enjoy the learning. And if you're not patient, you'll be angry student, this is so hard. And then it pisses your teacher off. And if your teacher's not patient, they're like, why can't you learn faster? And you're both in suffering. So patience is next. A pretty cool way, those six Buddhasattva characters really snowball into each other. And each ability builds the next one. And when you master all of them, that's when you reach Buddhasattva wisdom. So what we're learning is the path to become awakened, which is Buddha, Bodhisattva, the highest consciousness. And their wisdom, they didn't say, I'm Buddha and learn this and do what I say and you'll never be high level. Buddha said, no, all life are equal. You can also awaken. Here's the wisdom. Learn this wisdom and you can also awaken. So that's why I value this wisdom, because without it, I will go into suffering really fast. But wisdom takes me out. Enjoy the class. Everyone have fun.
Yeah.
Well done, guys.